Welcome to Microsoft's Insurance Corner with your presenters, Heather Haley, Insurance Account CTO at Microsoft.
And I'm Steve Walker, Cloud and AI Platform Specialist in Insurance at Microsoft. With this series, we aim to cut through the noise to bring you practical insights on the Microsoft technologies reshaping the UK insurance sector. From agentic AI, data platforms, developer experience, security, and the future of underwriting and claims.
This series is designed to give leaders and practitioners clear, actionable perspectives you can take straight back to your business. No hype, just real conversations and expertise and real value. Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's discussion. So today we had Dr. Dorota Zimnok in person in the studio.
I know, we're here again, back in person. I thought it would never happen.
Agreed. I think two of us carrying our suitcases of equipment across London.
Indeed, yes. And then, of course, the fire alarm that happened this morning. We had the building evacuated.
We did indeed. I think I've never seen Pret so busy while we all decamped.
It's good business for them, right?
Absolutely. Chaos for us, but at least we managed to get coffee in.
We did.
Got to speak to Dory about what she's doing around the Risk Summit.
That's great, yes, yeah.
And then obviously straight into recording.
Yeah, she had a very busy schedule, didn't she? Managed to squeeze us in, but yeah, very exciting. She's attending the Risk Summit this week.
Exactly. I did hope I could potentially join her this evening. I think there was a particularly fun segment based down in, well, near Fenchurch Street. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how her panel got on as well.
Indeed, yeah. Should we get into it?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. We are delighted today to be joined with Dr. Dorota Zimnok. Dory, welcome to Insurance Corner.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
No, thank you for coming. We really appreciate your time. Do you want to take just a couple of minutes to say hello to everyone and introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Dorota Zimnok, and I joined Microsoft 4 years ago as industry advisor to the financial services. Prior to that, I spent almost 3 decades with financial services. That includes both banking and insurance. From insurance side, I was at AIG in 2008, which may recall, many of us may recall as a historical moment.
Yeah.
I was with MetLife and with Volvo Financial Services as well.
Fantastic. Dory, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. We're working on a couple of joint customers together, and taking your insight around innovation in the financial services sector has been absolutely fantastic. So I guess first question for me is, where are you seeing the most amount of innovation from a financial services perspective?
Yes, so obviously AI has shaped and changed the world as we see and as we witness this and as we live it through all together. And from an insurance perspective, I must say that for years and years, we have been saying that we are sitting on a lot of data in insurance and the data is, very valuable, but we haven't really cracked how to use this data properly in a system and how to really drive value. And so for me, the biggest innovation is to really unlock this now. And, with the technology that is now available, obviously bringing unstructured data to structured data, put this in such shape that you can now drive value, create new products, new services, with the speed and accuracy that wasn't there before, it's probably the biggest change in the industry, particularly in insurance.
So true, isn't it? There's so much data that's trapped in documents and so much paper in there. It's absolutely ripe for modernization, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And also, if you think about this, it's paper on a company side, but it's also paper on the customer side. And it's not unusual that, at the moment of claims, for example, if you have life insurance and, those policies can be there for 20 years, and then you are asked to bring, so your original policy or find some original information or check your original, what were you covered for, whatnot, etc. That is a real burden for everybody. And in the worst case scenario where the beneficiary, or the policyholder, passed away and the beneficiaries are looking through this document, that's just impossible really to find. While today with obviously digitalization, with all the AI, etc., that can be harnessed, that can be put in a, in a format that it's easy to find, that we know that it's, a fraud, proof, if you like, and it's, all this is really fundamental change for the for the insurance industry, but also for customers themselves.
Love that. I know, Dori, you're joined to us in person in London today. I know that you are off to the Risk Summit this week as well. Would love to understand or hear about any headlines from the Risk Summit. I know you've been speaking on lots of panels. So what's a common theme that you're seeing?
So first of all, it's really fantastic to see that London created this and organized this London Risk Week, because it's a whole week with a lot of activities from insurance companies, brokers, and so on and so forth. And why is this being brought together? Because obviously risks today are not any particular organization or any particular person, etc. The risks are so converging between industries, between companies, between organizations, etc., geographically as well, obviously, geopolitical risks and all the others we are seeing right now, but also climate risks and others, right? They all require all the entities to come together and start working together, and the collaboration is extremely important. And that's the point for the London Risk Week to exist, where, government bodies, academia, insurance, investors, technology companies, and you name it, all coming together and finding and discussing how to better understand the risks, how to better respond to those risks, to make the decisions much faster, much more accurate, and how to build the overall economy resilience, if you like, about this, because obviously insurance as an industry has a huge impact on the economy. And if we, and yet insurance is also very powerful in addressing some of those challenges. So having these conversations is extremely important. And from the topics, obviously, as I mentioned already, geopolitical risks and climate risks were very high on everybody's agenda, and understandably so. But also, obviously, technology is a very important topic, right? And AI in particular. Everybody, I see the shift, real shift, from even last year when the discussions about AI were more in the category of we are experimenting, we are learning, we are understanding, what's art of possible, how can we harness this technology. Today, it's all about, we need to start really, progressing with it and take it seriously and really, take advantage of it. And the reason for that is that I think, there was enough of the evidence coming so far showing that AI is not a bubble, AI is not one of trend, AI is not going to disappear. It is there. And, and if you want to keep competitive advantage, if you want to take benefit out of it, you need to be front of trend. And that is what I've heard in panels over and over throughout this Risk Week.
If you're currently listening to this, you may not know that we capture video of each and every episode of the Insurance Corner podcast, whether we're here in London or remote. Please subscribe to us on YouTube. You can search for Microsoft Insurance Corner. Now back to the show.
I was going to follow up with that. Do you think there is a risk to organizations if they don't start looking at AI as part of their innovation agenda?
I definitely think so. And there are several levels, right? The first level is, if we start with the very basics, and that is that we are now in a soft market. A soft market meaning, obviously, that there is much higher competition, but also there is, lower margins because of that competition. So we are looking at the productivity and the cost ratio very closely, right? And because of that, we need to make sure that we find efficiency and unlock productivity and efficiency where it is possible. AI is a perfect example where you can do a lot of, drive a lot of value from that point of view. But also what soft market asks organizations to do is to build a value on finding new capacity and new revenue growth, etc., right? So on one hand, you want to lower your cost. On the other hand, you want to find attract new customers, etc. And to to allow for that, if you free up, for example, resources from mundane tasks, etc., and they can focus on more meaningful conversations with the customers, etc., that's where the capacity will come from. That's where you can book more business. That's where you can do cross-sell, upsell, and so on and so forth, which is driving directly the business results. So, and again, AI is very important in here. And now we will definitely see that those companies that are, you know, still thinking, looking for business value, you know, and doing POCs over and over. POCs are important. They help to drive the, you know, talent and educate the organization and explain to the organization what that can do for us. But POCs and stopping there is not really, you know, it's not going to take neither the organization nor the industry forward. So it needs to transform into, you know, tangible projects, tangible transformation programs. And that's what we are seeing right now. So if companies are still arguing and still thinking, is this the real thing? They risk, you know, to stay behind. And so one side is this operational side, but the other side is the talent side. And that's extremely important, I think, also in insurance industry, because insurance industry, you know, has been always facing the challenge of attracting talent to the organizations. Because let's face it, you know, insurance is not the first industry that people from the universities would think like, oh, that's the one I want to work for. So because of that, you know, in order to attract new talent, you need to be, you know, using the latest tools, because that's what the people who are coming to the organization will be used to. So
expecting,
you know,
it, aren't they?
Expecting as well. Expecting, but also they will already know how to use those tools, right?
Outside
so that so there will be, in my opinion, transfer of knowledge and experience both ways. So those who are coming to the organization equipped with and savvy with all the, you know, AI tools and all that, will bring this into organizations. But then obviously it's industry knowledge. And that knowledge is locked with underwriters, brokers, etc., who so far mainly build this on personal relationships, and they harness this, you know, experience within themselves, right? Now AI can support with transfer of this knowledge, right? So if I go for the meeting with customer and I can use some assisting tools that are recording, summarizing our meeting, etc., this, you know, this is a very valuable information that can be shared with other people in our organization who can learn from this, who can, you know, upgrade. We can bring all these conversations together and get the intel on the market, what market needs, what our customers need, etc., etc. So there is a lot between the two generations coming together and sharing knowledge and experience as well.
Mm. I wanted to ask you, Tori, changing tact ever so slightly, could you tell us a little bit more about the industry advisor role at Microsoft? Heather and I are very fortunate to have your expertise and come and help us out and chat with customers. But how should a customer outside in looking at an insurance industry advisor, how can we leverage your expertise?
Thank you. So yes, industry advisors are those who are coming with the industry expertise. So the very first thing is that we lived and breathed and we understand the processes. We you know, we've been in these roles. I've been in my strategic and operational roles in insurance for a long time before, as I've mentioned. So it's about understanding really those challenges and understanding also the opportunities. So where industry advisors are usually being engaged is when we are unlocking something new, or we are, you know, it's not day-to-day BAU operations. That's very important, of course, but we have a lot of people in Microsoft that can support on a daily basis. But those are those bigger fundamental questions that are in the industry, maybe also converging with other industries. For example, in Worldwide Financial Services team, we often see where insurance meets capital markets, say pensions, for example, right? So we can bring industry advisors who have this knowledge and experience from those two industries and unlock the value in between, right? So we can, on one hand, we can connect with the boards, we can understand the lingua, we can understand the problems. But then because we have also this technology experience, we can then translate it into tangible, you know, processes and asks that we can then solve with our colleagues at the Microsoft. So I would say, you know, if this is about more strategic initiatives, more forward-thinking initiatives, that's where industry advisors usually bring more value to the equation, if you like.
Based on that experience, Dory, what do you think is the, you know, you've obviously lived and breathed the insurance sector. Where do you think is the greatest AI opportunity?
Yes. So I think we are, you know, if you ask me a year ago, I would definitely say, you know, at least start proper transformations, right? I was amazed to still hear last year and, you know, in few last years that, for example, insurance, unlike banking, does not have really enough interactions with customers. And I was always wondering, like, but why? Like, whose fault is that, if I may use these words, right? Shouldn't that be that we have now those AI tools and everything? So, and also industry is going from protection to prevention. So there is even more points, you know, touch points that we can create with our customers. And guess what? Customers would appreciate it if it's relevant, if it's timely, if it's on time, you know, like, because everybody wants to mitigate risk rather than to go through this, right? So so I think, you know, these were the fundamentals, if you like. And I feel, at least seeing this with our customers, that we are moving, you know, over this phase. There's still hyper-personalization, other topics discussed, but we are moving over the phase of, like, how to engage with customers. I think, you know, that's already kind of building both ways. There is obviously AI brings another interesting shift, which needs to be acknowledged, and that's asymmetry of information. Previously, because, you know, information was not so easily accessible for customers, customers were fully reliant on, you know, on those who are selling the insurance to them. Today, we are hearing and seeing the customers are ever more educated, ever more experienced, ever, they come with questions that, you know, that they've researched already, you know, least to say that we are seeing now them turning into ChatGPT and other solutions as well. But in general, the asymmetry of information is not there anymore. So obviously now upgrading, you know, and bringing relevance and bringing more, you know, accuracy to information, et cetera, so that you can serve customer who is ever more demanding, it will be very, very important. But going forward, I think, you know, we've seen insurance is all about risk. And previously, I think we were relying so much, for example, in climate risk, we were relying so much on the historical risk. So we took what happened in the last 20 years, 30 years, we built the borders, we built all the calculations, etc. And that's how the underwriting happened. With everything is happening right now, we are empowered with more and more of forward-looking, forward-thinking. Think about, you know, the models that Microsoft put on the market with Aurora. Aurora is very powerful modeling for weather forecasting, but not only that, you know, you can do look at the pollutions and others, and therefore you can, you know, look at underwriting of life and health, for example, right? So this now is looking forward, right? Rather than look, okay, there was a hurricane and what did it do to us? Now you can predict and say, like, okay, there's a hurricane coming. What can we tell our customers up front, how they can protect themselves, etc.? So I think that understanding risks, much faster decisions, there will be required to be much more, you know, when you need them, where you need them. There will be, in my opinion, this intermediation and of products and services, they will be simplified. They will be much more targeted, on demand, and so on and so forth. And I think this is where AI can bring a lot of value.
For all the show notes and resources mentioned by any of our guests, please visit our website at insurancecorner.co.uk. Now back to the show.
We've talked about this time and time again about the age-old adage of people wanting to buy from people and the importance of human connection. With the rise of AI, how are you seeing the change of people interacting with insurance brands?
I still think it will be, a mix of both. And, AI will not remove human from the loop. And it will be obviously business decision based on business problems and segmentation of types of customers. But again, I think that AI actually and the whole technology advancement as we see right now is enabling for this, what we used to call omni-channel, then we called opti-channel, whichever words you're using there. It's all about, being able to give customer access where and how they demand. But what you don't want, and that was what we lived for last years, is that if I called first and had some good conversation about product, and then I was passing by, let's say, the high street, branch, and I thought actually I could sign that form they've mentioned right now, and I could, I could get this insurance, and you walk into the store and then you're learning, actually we don't have your records. Can you tell us what you're looking for? That we cannot afford anymore, because there is, technology is there. It's not a technology problem. It's just that, commitment and transformation problem. And I'm sure customers will be delighted to have that service when they, wherever they go, they can have the same experience. We do see customers, or when I say customers, insurance companies are also looking similar, like in banking in the past, into some differentiating models, because obviously AI also allowed to build some new models, operational models and revenue models. And I remember in the past when I worked with banking, where there was the branch and then online and then mobile, and those channels were treated as a channels, and then there was a whole business like Neobank, and those customers who wanted better, cheaper, etc., they naturally moved into the digital world. I'm seeing the similar logic being applied to insurance right now, where we will see, digital only brands, if you like, and we will encourage customers to use, where it will be orchestrated by agentic. And when I'm saying this with full responsibility, because we have customers who are building this and will be launching this very soon on the market. So it's not something hypothetical. It's something that is happening right now, and customers will be allowed to use that. But those who will be still looking for a human touch and for human interaction, I'm sure that they will be also receiving these opportunities.
Mm. Right tool for the right job, isn't it? So anyway,
yes.
It's these new neo insurance companies who are spinning up and being able to offer this stuff agentically. They're filling a niche, aren't they, for customers who want to have that digital experience. But on the flip side, people dealing with people, they're going to have probably more back-end processes that are bringing them up to speed quicker. Like you said, data having to be typed out multiple times will hopefully be a thing of the past, so that when we have meetings face-to-face, they're much more informed and meaningful because of AI.
But even if you think about this, we tend to think about AI as being very kind of a dry and no emotions, etc., right? And if we think about this to some extent, it's actually, it's actually bringing some emotional level, if you like. So I think that barrier will move a little bit. It's anecdotal, maybe not exactly from insurance, but I remember I was asking about, last weekend I was on a trip, and I was asking about particular place to stay. And I've been advised by the tool how to, which place I could stay at. And then I asked how to get there. And it explained how to reach there. And then it ended by saying please do let me know if you found the place. I'd be very interested. Mm. And then you're thinking oh my God, it's acting as my friend, right? Let me know if you got there, on time, and how was it, right? And I'm like, really? And we're seeing this in contact center, for example, right? How many tools are there about sentiment analysis, about helping also advisors, who are discussing with customer by providing information much faster, providing accurate information, right? But also understanding the point in time, right? If you're calling in a very difficult situation and you're trying to file the claim, you need to give a little bit of space for that, right? You cannot go straight, let's start with the form. No, it's a particular conversation you need to have. And I think AI is very smart as well with helping to, deduct and helping to advise also on the flow, both sides, how to improve that conversation.
Love that. I guess everything we've spoken about, Dory, and some of the sort of the bleeding edge use cases that you've spoken about, for some of the audience, I'm worried that could be a bit daunting thinking about, you know, what the sort of the quick movers are doing on the market. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, what would be your single bit of advice to sort of technology leaders, business leaders, of where to start, mm-hmm. how to, for them to start thinking about their transformation journey? Almost, what's your bit of coaching for them?
Thank you. So, first of all, I think we are in the wonderful moment where I don't think there was ever that business and IT came closer together. In the past, again, I remember being on IT side and being responsible for delivering solutions, but not necessarily, you know, the business results, because they were sitting with a business. The business was responsible for business results, but not necessarily about how the solution was developed. And there was often discrepancy between the two. Either the tool was not used, or solutions were not delivered to the business expectations. I think right now, and that's what we are seeing from the most successful companies, they are coming together. You know, when we have our workshops, we make sure that in those workshops, we have at least as many business people, if no more, than the IT, should I say, or data scientists, et cetera, right? So that there is a right balance. So first of all, I would say, let's build one company, wherever you are, and bring those two functions together, because I think it's extremely important. And then we are talking a lot about technology, but it's not the technology problem, really, because technology is existing, technology is proven, technology is being implemented over and over, day by day, with the pace we've never seen before. But it's also a people change management, right? I, in my work, through years and years, I use the simple framework, I say simple, about change management. And that framework is awareness, acceptance, and action. Awareness is all about, you know, what do we know personally? What do I know about this topic? What does my team know about this topic? What is our organization knowing about this topic? And is there more we need to do? More education, more training, more understanding, right? So that's all about awareness. It's real. It's happening. We need to embark. So then there is acceptance, right? Yes. So we need to do something in our organization. What do we need to do, right? And then here is where we do a little bit more of business proof, where you, for example, take one process, you do it on one process, and then you demonstrate, look, you know, we've gained this value. Now we need to multiply this on many processes. We need to continue, etc. And then there's action when we are saying all in, right? So then there is usually, you know, where you are setting the whole system, starting with, you know, security, with AI, responsible AI, with, you know, governance, with, you know, responsibilities. And you are not making this one particular, you know, side office problem, or side office task, like, you know, innovation often used to be like everybody was doing BU, and then there was this, yeah, you know, fun corner where people, you know, were somehow selected, nobody knew how, but they were lucky ones to play with all these tools and etc. And everybody was just envy and jealous, right? No, it's not that. We need to have AI everywhere. And we are seeing that actually those companies who went wall to wall, if you like, with AI and enabled every employee, they are saying back, and we talked about Risk Week. I've heard this in many places. It's unbelievable. We didn't think about so much creativity in our organization that when we enabled AI, how it you know, unlocked new processes, but also new creative ideas, new products, etc. Across organizations. So I think, you know, assessing ourselves on this awareness, acceptance, and action, where are we really sitting, saying that I think that the first year, 2022-23, was awareness, 24 was acceptance with some 25. I'm seeing this is already, you know, action. Yep. So, you know, so check yourself, see where you are on the journey, and I would encourage everybody to move towards action as soon as possible.
Dory, we're very grateful for the time you've given us today. One final question before we let you get away. There is so much news and everything to keep up with in the industry of insurance. What Microsoft tooling are you using? How are you using AI to keep on top of this kind of stuff? Do you have a routine that you could share?
I do have a routine. So there are a couple of things. First of all, I'm subscribed and I have my agent that collects the news and brings me, you know, what is the latest. And I'm, you know, with my role, I'm checking this on a daily basis. So my morning coffee is with my morning, what's the news. But obviously it's not enough. And sometimes news travels much faster than 24 hours. So I also if I want to understand the different perspectives on topics, because sometimes I see, you know, different, for example, right now from work risk, from Risk Week, we are hearing a lot about climate, but very different perspectives. I will use Researcher for that.
The researcher agent.
Yeah, the researcher agent that we have. And it's almost like daily tool for me to use. And, I will also ask some questions through different models because I see that there are different, you know, perspectives that are being provided. And that is also very interesting. And then, we have another tools like, you know, I have my coworker that it's my routine that helps in the morning, you know, to also, you know, go through some of my processes, which, you know, I didn't like to do in the past. So now I can use my coworker to ask to do some of this, consolidation of information and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm seeing these tools are coming on a daily basis. And I must say, understanding and that pace may be overwhelming. And I want to say, that it's not like some are smarter than the others. And it's okay, if we feel overwhelmed, it's not that we are doing something wrong, because it is, the pace is unbelievable. But it's good to understand that there are tools. And also, you know, the conversations. I mean, I remember going to the pub with my colleagues in the past and talking about mascaras. And today we are talking about, you know, what is the new AI tools, you know. And as I said, I used this for the last trip, and I was sharing with my friends, you know, how I use the ChatGPT, or my brother was buying the glasses. And he was using, you know, taking pictures and saying, oh, they, you know, I've been advised to buy those glasses and I love them, you know. So talking about how we're using this in every day, I think it's also an important part of how we can educate ourselves.
I have to admit, that's brilliant. And on a similar vein, I've got my old NCT group. So the people when I took maternity leave, the group of women, yes, that I was surrounded with, and we now do an AI and wine night where we share prompts and we talk about what's coming out. And yeah, it's fascinating. We've gone from talking about babies to AI and trying to keep ourselves all relevant, up to speed. So,
But it can be fun as well, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You can be scared of it, but I mean, you know, it's fun as well. So just allow yourself, you know, to on the journey.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
If the folks listening wanted to get in touch with you at all, how's the best place? Where's the best place to find you, Dori?
Yeah, so definitely on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn, Dorota Zimnoch. You can also obviously reach out to me through email, dezimnoch@microsoft.com.
Thank you for your time. Awesome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So there we have it, Heather. That was Dori Zimnoch. We have wanted her on the podcast for a very long time. Our very own industry advisor here in the UK. How do you think it went?
I think it was brilliant, personally. As you said, we have the pleasure of working with Dori on a couple of our insurance customers. And every time she's in the room and she talks about her history, the work she's done firsthand, it just brings such experience and credibility to the conversations we're having. And it was just a pleasure to have a conversation with her, get her perspective, because I'm conscious when we do have her speaking to customers, it's very focused on their business outcomes and their strategy. So it was lovely for her to sort of dissect and talk about all her history, her experience, and bring a discussion to the table.
Yeah, she was incredibly passionate. I do love that about Dori. What was your favorite bit that she spoke about?
Well, me personally, and I guess coming from a consultancy background, this sung to me a little bit, was her three A's. So her personal framework. And I probably do need to let her know that I will be stealing that and talking to all customers about it, because the way she described it, the way she's applied it to the industry today, I thought was fantastic.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we're very, very lucky to have Dori, aren't we?
Absolutely. I think one positive thing as well, or I guess a call to action for the audience, is Dory is a regular speaker on various industry panels. So I would highly recommend finding her on LinkedIn, engaging with her content. She really does bring a perspective to life.
She does indeed. Right. Let's bring it to a close there. If you folks have enjoyed anything you've heard over the last few weeks of Insurance Corner, please do remember to give us a review wherever you download your podcast. It really does help us out. Thanks a lot. But we'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.